David, one of your co-workers, Drance, pointed out how the bottom six of the Canucks tonight has a total of 2 goals and 2 assists combined all season long. Obviously, they've got, I think it's 4 or 5 regular forwards out of the lineup. It's a pretty tough test for them right now. Work ethic, I don't know if that's really an issue here lately. It's just they just simply have a lack of talent.
Oh, absolutely. You know, it is injuries to an extent, but you also look at who's out. Look, Jay Beagle's not giving the Canucks any offense, right? And that's the main one that's out right now. Like, this is a team that right now is basically just missing its number one center. And to feel the effects the way they have, honestly, I don't think you can use the injury excuse, because JT Miller's playing center. Usually he's on Pedersen's wing, but they really haven't had much issue with the top six scoring. It's really been the bottom six that really needs to step up. And the thing is, if they were healthy, the bottom six isn't much better than it is now. It's just, you know, the late Jason Botchford coined it the Sea of Granlin many years ago when they were rebuilding. In the year they got Pedersen, it was the Sea of Granlin, because they had six guys down there who were basically all Marcus Granlin, just a bunch of people who couldn't make any difference in a hockey game and were literally just skating out there. And that's what the Canucks have right now. They have a bunch of guys in the bottom six who are just skating out there.
Do you think Jim Benning is back next year?
I do. I do, actually. If you asked me that question closer to the start of the year, the answer would probably be no. But Francesco Aquilini's come out multiple times now. He shut down reports that they're even thinking of moving on from Jim, even when things were at their worst this season, like before the COVID outbreak. Like, look, the thing with the COVID outbreak is everybody says don't compare the Canucks. You can't criticize the Canucks for playing the way they are because of the COVID outbreak, and that's absolutely fair. Like, I sympathize with these guys, but you can compare how they're playing now to how they were playing before. There's really not much difference. Before they got COVID, they were playing just like this. So, you know, this is the team. This is Jim Benning's team, and I think he's going to get one more year. The thing is Francesco Aquilini is an owner who is very tuned into this market. At least he has been in the past, right? So if there were fans in the building, and, you know, the Fire Benning movement here got crazy. I don't want to use the term out of hand, but there was a banner. I don't know if you saw that. People raised money for a banner to fly over Vancouver that said Fire Benning on the back of it. But you can believe that, similar to how fans chanted Fire Gillis and Mike Gillis was gone within weeks, there would have been Fire Benning chants filling Rogers Arena. But right now, the only people inside Rogers Arena are media members, who would be pretty frowned upon if you started chanting from the press box.
David Quadrella joins us from CanucksArmy.com. Oilers taking on the Canucks tonight, and then Thursday, and then Saturday. Again, and you know what? You bring up a good point, because I was looking and said, hey, I get it that COVID came and that's brutal, but they weren't very good before COVID hit. Now, you know, the Elias Pettersson injury, I think that plays a part, but even Pettersson, you know, he had 21 points in 26 games at that time, which is okay, but they were probably hoping for more. Quinn Hughes on the back end, right? He had unreal numbers last year. Him and Tanev were great. How concerned are you about Quinn Hughes defensively, or does it matter because he just produces so much offensively?
It does matter, right? Like, it does matter. It's crazy to come out and say it doesn't matter, because, look, last year when the Canucks were in the playoffs against the St. Louis Blues and they needed to shut down Ryan O'Reilly, they called on Quinn Hughes to play matchup minutes. So it's not like this guy can't defend. He can defend. He just needs to be playing with the right guy. And that's not even because he gets carried or anything like that. It's just he works better, you know, with everything, just communication, breaking out of the zone. It works better when he's with a partner he's comfortable with. Now, Chris Tanev is having a great year in Calgary, and he had a great year last year in Vancouver. But this year, Quinn Hughes has kind of had a period where he was trying to figure it out, and he wasn't really playing with a steady partner, and he was really struggling as a result of it. But now Travis Hamonic's come in, and, you know, he's been a pretty reliable first-pairing defenseman to play with Quinn Hughes, and even Jordy Benn posted good numbers with Quinn Hughes. So for me, I'm not concerned about Quinn Hughes. I'm more concerned about the person lining up beside him. That's what's going to make Quinn Hughes the best player he can be, is playing with somebody who complements his game well. Chris Tanev did it best, but Travis Hamonic's not doing a bad job right now either.
I was going to ask you, like, are they going to – I would assume – Because it's not like there's a bevy of free agents that are available out there to go get. So do you think Hamonic's a guy that they're going to look to re-sign?
I do. So I'm sure you know the situation with Hamonic. He wants to stay in Western Canada just for family reasons. And I think there's going to be mutual interest there. The only thing I wonder is, what's Edmonton and Calgary thinking of that? You know what I mean? Like, do Edmonton and Calgary want to make an offer to him? Because, look, the Canucks, it's no secret, the Canucks' financial situation, and I wouldn't be surprised if they just don't have the money for Hamonic, and, you know, maybe they run out of time. I'm not sure if you saw that quote, but that was what Jim Benning said happened with Toffoli. They ran out of time. So do with that what you will, but maybe the same thing happens with Hamonic. Look, they've got to get Pettersson, and they've got to get Hughes signed. They've left it almost to the last minute. They could have extended these guys, but they didn't. Now they have to focus on that in the off season. So maybe they run out of time again with a guy like Hamonic. But I think there's going to be mutual interest there. So I could see them working out a deal, but I also think that Hamonic, given the season that he's had in Vancouver, might be somebody that other teams are looking at as well.
Now, I'm very curious to see what the contracts are going to be for Hughes and Elias Pettersson. Right. Pettersson was, you know, hey, if he'd finished this year, I think he needed like 5 points above, games played, and he would have been a point of game guy in his entry level deal. And that might have set him up for a big contract. But on the other side, you have that he's always banged up. Right. And, you know, his body type. I wonder, like, what do you think? Like, obviously they would love to sign him for 8 years. But what's the number that makes sense and a term that makes sense? And do you think he wants to lock up for 8 years?
No, I do not. So I'm sure you saw this, but J.P. Barrie, old agent of the Twins, and Pat Brisson, CAA, they represent Quinn Hughes. And before the season started, Elias Pettersson made a switch to CAA. And you can't help but wonder, actually, you can't help but assume that that's because he saw the treatment of guys like Markstrom, Kanev, Toffoli in the offseason and said, wow, I don't want them to play hardball with me, so I'm going to go with Hughes, because that gives, not only does it give Hughes leverage, it gives Pettersson leverage as well. Because look, the Canucks can maybe afford to go into next season without one of those guys signed, but if those guys are signing together, which they are, their agent has said that is what's going to be happening, they are going to sign together, not identical contracts necessarily, but they are going to be signing at the same time and make sure that each other is taken care of before one of them signs. That gives them all the leverage in the world, right? Like, that just gives them so much leverage. So when I look at that deal, look, I've heard Pat Brisson talk on radio about the philosophy of bringing guys to their UFA years. I think it's going to be a 3-year deal. I think that's really the only option. I think it's going to be 3 years for both of them. I think Pettersson's probably going to get $7 or $8 million. I look at the Matt Barzal contract as a bit of a comparable there. And then Quinn Hughes, that one's a little tougher. I think it might come in a little bit lower than Pettersson, just because Pettersson's played 3 seasons. Hughes only has 2. But yeah, I think they're both going to be 3 years long. I think that's going to be the term, and the number that'll depend.
Yeah, it's a fascinating one to watch for them. They got the young goalie signed. You know, you get Hughes, you got Pettersson, you got Bo Horvat, you got, you know, Brock Besser, although he's, I think, a year or two away from free agency. So they still got some pieces, but if they don't start filling it around them, it's going to be difficult, because, you know, Vancouver's top end guys, they're just not as top end as Edmonton's, and they're going to be competing in the same division for the next year. So they've got to fill out and find ways to have better support staff if they want to compete against the Oilers.
Oh, absolutely. Look, I was watching the game last night, I was watching the game, and every time, for either team, every time the McDavid line wasn't on the ice, it meant the Miller line wasn't on the ice, and just nothing was happening. It was like I said earlier, they were just skating out there. There was nothing happening. It was just broken play after broken play, and I was literally sitting there just thinking to myself, can somebody please put out McDavid so I can see something here? Like, let's see something actually happen. And sure enough, every time he was on the ice, something did happen, whether that was, you know, JT Miller. Those two had a discussion at center ice before the game. I'm not sure if you picked up on that. That was actually kind of interesting to me. But, you know,
Did he say take it easy on us?
Yeah, I don't know exactly what was said. We asked Miller in the postgame, and he just said it was something private. But it did look like a bit of an animated conversation. I was watching it with some curiosity, for sure. But yeah, like I said, it's the top lines for both of these teams, right? And the Oilers win that battle every day of the week.
David, great stuff. We'll keep reading at CanucksArmy.com and enjoy the offseason. There's been no shortage of storylines in Vancouver. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. Appreciate it. Thank you.